How nice is it to just sit in the presence of the Lord? And I've got such an expectation, and it always sounded weird if I listened to a teaching and somebody says they've got this expectation. I didn't really understand it. But if you get to the point where I know what the Lord wants to tell us tonight is out of His heart, and that He wants to release us. He wants to release us from a lie of He's not in control. So I think we all at one stage or another, maybe often wonder, is God really in control? If I listen to everything happening in the world, if I listen to things that happen in South Africa, if I listen to things that happen in Malmesbury, I wonder, is God really in control? Psalm 139 is one of those psalms that just I can't get enough of. It's that psalm that says, before I give a step, He knows it. He knows my journey. Before I say a word, He knows what I want to say. Before I even have a thought. So whatever you're going to think of tomorrow, He knows it already. It's the same Psalm 139 that says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But then we get to verse 16 that says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. So if I see this specific verse, my days are written in the Lord's book before I was even created. Some people go as far as saying before the world was created, He already knew what I'm going to do. So this verse tells me every single step I take, every single thing I do, the Lord knows about it. It's written in His book. Written. It is not, you cannot erase it. So this morning, Deval said at some stage, the Lord is never surprised. Oh, did you see what He just did there? No way. I didn't get that. I am totally, can you believe it? He did it. I never. The Lord doesn't go and like, oh, they sang that song today. I was so hoping they'll sing it. He knows it. He knows it already. And that tells me He is in control. If He knows every thought, if He knows every word, every step, He's in control. He has to be. Otherwise, how would you know? I don't know what my daughter's going to be when she grows up. I know what she wants to be, but I don't know what she's going to do when she's 30, 50, 60. I don't know. We don't know. But the Lord knows, because He is in control. The other day, we were walking, me and my family, we took just a stroll in Malmesbury, and we just got to talking about things that's happening in Malmesbury, and things that are happening in the schools, things that are happening in South Africa, and things that's happening outside of South Africa. And as they were talking, I started realizing just that moment that we're now going into a negative spiral. And I just said, without knowing, actually declared, but remember, God is in control. And I just got this peace that just came over me. God is in control. So I read of all of this stuff happening. You can now kill your baby in the womb the day, the minute before you give birth. It is now legal in around the world, in certain countries. And I'm like, Lord, how can this be? It breaks my heart. But the Lord is in control. And we're going to see scripture tonight that just shows us that exactly. One of the scriptures Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, the Lord directs the king's hearts like water to his will. So our leaders, our presidents, he turns it whichever way he wants. So I want you to just quickly turn to somebody, and with all the confidence that you have in you, look that person in the eye and just tell him, God is in control. Take my friend. So if God is in control, does it mean his will always happen? Whatever he wills, that will happen. But we see things, terrible things happening out there. So if we look at the word, if we look at the Bible and we study the Bible, they say there are two different wills of God. There is the sovereign will, God's sovereign will. It will not change. That is his will, and it will happen. And we will see the scriptures now. And then we have God's will of command, where he says, it is my will that you do not steal. It is my will that nobody should perish. It is my will that we will love each other. It is my will that you will not murder or steal. But we have the free will to decide. So let's have a look at a few scriptures that refers to God's will of command. And my prayer is that after tonight we will understand these two. And we will long to do more of God's will, his will of command. So 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 says, for this it is the will of God, that you be sanctified, separated and set apart from sin, that you abstain and back away from sexual immorality. So some people do. But some people choose not to. Some people choose not to be separated and set apart from sin. Some people still like to play, put their one foot in sin. Let's make a few dirty jokes. The next is chapter 5, verse 18. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So God's will is that we give thanks in everything, in every situation, in everything that happens. If I've got a bad day, if I've got a not so bad day. So on my way to church tonight, we decided I'll take my wife's car. And as we stopped outside, it was 2:55. And I thought, okay, Laka, I want to pray with the intercessors this afternoon. And as I got out of the car, I saw my wife's handbag is still in the car. And she's got asthma, so her asthma pump is in there, so she can't be without it. So now I need to start the car again, drive back home, take the handbag to her. And I was just getting upset about it, and I thought, God is in control. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why I shouldn't be 1 minute before 5 here and only arrive here at 5:05. God is in control. And give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that I can do this. So some of us do give thanks to God in everything, for everything. And some of us don't. Sometimes we do it and sometimes we don't. So sometimes we do the will of God and other times we do not. In 1 John 2 verse 17, the world is passing away and with its lusts, but the one who does the will of God and carries out his purposes lives forever. So if we carries out God's will, we will live forever. And that is my heart's desire, that each one of us walks out of here tonight thinking, I want to be closer to God. I want not only his sovereign will, we can't change that anyway. I want God's will because I want to live forever. And I want to please him. And every week, I just want to take one scripture and think of that. And if it's be thankful in everything, then I just want to, every day, I just want to say, Lord, help me to be thankful in everything. Help me to be thankful in everything. And the next week, that's all I meditate on. Lord, if I wake up, Lord, help me to be thankful today. If I go to bed, Lord, help me to be thankful. So let's have a look at God's sovereign will. And as I was preparing this, I was so excited. The more I was working on this, the more excited I got about God's sovereign will. Because no matter what we do, He is in control. And it just gives me that peace. That Philippians peace that surpasses all understanding. So God's sovereign will means that Jesus came to earth. He studied the word like any other Jewish boy. And God the Father wasn't sitting in his throne and thinking, I hope this is gonna work out. His sovereign will dictates that on that day, on that time, he will be crucified for all of us. It's his sovereign will, it cannot be changed. In Matthew 26, verse 39, and after going a little farther, he fell face, this is Jesus, Jesus fell face down and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible that it and it is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will, as you will. He knew what was coming. He knew what was happening the next day. And he said, Lord, I commit my will to your will. In Acts 4, verse 27 and 28, it says, For this is a city, for in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purposes predestined before the creation of the world to occur, and so without knowing it, they served your own purpose. So were Pontius Pilate and Herod in God's will? Yeah. Did they do what God wanted them to do? Exactly. Were they sinning? Absolutely. But they did exactly what God wanted them to do. Because like we saw in Proverbs, He directs the thoughts and the hearts of kings like water. And this is God's sovereign will. He will direct people's minds to do His own purpose. What needs to happen will happen, because that is God's will. So we can sit back today and relax. We can sit back and we can stop worrying. I can stop trying to provide for my family, because I can't. I can stop worrying, will I have enough money next week or next month? I can stop worrying if my kids will have a job one day when they grow up. I can stop worrying if they will get into a good university or any university. Will we have the finances to pay for them? I can just stop worrying. I can stop worrying if they will be safe tonight, if we will be safe, because God is in control. So I can just sit back and relax. First Peter 3:17. For it is better that you suffer unjustly for doing what is right, if that should be God's will, than for doing wrong. So rather suffer for doing right than doing wrong. So if I get to work and I see my manager does something wrong and I go and I report her, I may be victimized. I may be fired. I may be worked out of that job. Is that God's will for me to do the right thing? Absolutely. Is it God's will that I suffer? If that is His will. For doing good. Is God still in control if I now lose my job and I can't provide for my family? Yes. He's always in control. He's always in control. He's always in control. There's never a moment that He looks away and is like, what happened? Oh, I didn't see that coming. It doesn't happen. He's always in control. So if we look at Ephesians 1 verse 11, And as you've realized, and if you heard me preach in the past, I love the word. So the more word I can put up there, the better. I love just putting up words, putting up word after word after word. Because the Bible gives us a promise, and it tells us that no word will come back void. In Him also we have received an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and design of His will. Amen. We can go home. His will happen. His design, His intricate. One day I heard somebody said, God is the master strategist. He works everything perfectly together that we tonight can sit here. He worked everything perfectly that you are at the right time, at the right place, every day, every moment. The person that you meet when you go to the shop, that you, they just need a smile, and you are there, and you just acknowledge them. You walk past somebody, and you just smile, and you just make their day. It's exactly what they needed today. God designed that, specifically like that. And my heart's desire is that we will walk closer and closer with the Holy Spirit. And that we will know, but I need to stop now and just give Him some love. Just give Him some attention. Just stop a moment and just do this. And the more we are walking with the Holy Spirit, I mean, it just blesses me to think Jesus, before He left this earth, He said, I'm going to send you somebody better to be with each one of you all the time. So it's not Jesus. If I'm with Jesus, I'm with Him. But if I'm not with Him, I'm away from Him. And Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you will do more than what Jesus did. He told you, you're going to do more. You're going to do more. You're going to do more. We're going to do more than Jesus. That's His promise to us. So the closer we walk with the Holy Spirit, we just invite Him into everything. Lord, help me to be thankful today. Lord, help me. Now I see somebody struggling. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Let me go and bless this person. Lord, where can I be a blessing today? And let's just walk with the Holy Spirit and knows He's in control. And when we get it wrong, when we get to a place where it won't always be good and happy and well, but when we get to a place where it's tough, we can say, thank you, Lord, that it's tough. Thank you for the season that you're taking me through, because it's better for doing good that I suffer than for doing evil. So these four scriptures really excites me. Matthew 10 verse 29 says, are not two little sparrows sold for a copper coin, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Not one little bird will die without the Father's will. So if I drive on the highway, I work in Cape Town, so if I drive on the highway and I see this pigeon next to the road, is it God's will? What does the word say? Yes. Not one pigeon will die without His will. He's totally in control. Oh, that excites me so. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Whatever you do, every decision is from the Lord. Proverbs 16 verse 33. No matter what you do, the decision is the Lord's. Proverbs 16 verse 1. The plans and reflections of the heart belongs to man. Listen carefully. The plans and reflections of the heart belongs to a man. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So whatever you think, whatever you say is from the Lord. How amazing is it that you can sit and say, Lord, everything I say, I just want to worship you. And then the scripture, Proverbs 21 verse 1 that I quoted already. The king's heart, and there's two different ones that I put up because it's just so beautiful. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whichever way he wishes. And the next one. The king's heart is like channeled water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. So let's change. Who is the king? Who is the king's heart? Is our leaders? Is our president? Is our leaders? Is our ministers? It's all the leaders out there. So the president's heart is like channeled water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. So tomorrow morning when you get up and you pray for our beautiful country, Lord, thank you that you direct our president's heart. Thank you that you direct the leaders of the companies. Thank you that you direct the hearts of every president, every leader in the world. Thank you that you direct their every thought. Are you now worried about the future? Are you now worried about what's going to happen to our land? Are we now worried? If we start praying tomorrow, Lord, thank you that you direct the CEO of Eskom's heart wherever you choose. Am I now worried about the infrastructure and if it will collapse and if we will have energy in a year's time? No. But we can declare the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So this is God's sovereign will. He's never surprised. He's never worried. You know, if we watch a movie and it's a tense movie and you don't know what's going to happen, will this happen? Is there a twist? What's? He's never surprised. He's not watching this playing out and he's like, oh, I wonder, will they meet? Yes, okay, they meet. Oh, no, she dropped the. Oh, no, she's not going to meet. He's not like that. He doesn't. He's never surprised. He knows exactly. He's the designer. Daniel 4. Isn't it a beautiful name? Daniel. Daniel 4 verse 35 says, all the inhabitants of the earth are regarded as nothing. For those of you that think you are something, I'm sorry. The Lord says we are nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can hold back his hand. No one can hold back his hand. No one. Or say to him, what have you done? No one can hold back his hand. If he wants to bless you tomorrow, he will bless you, no matter what. If he wants to put you through trials and make you stronger, he will do that. If he needs to take you down from your holy place, he will do that. Nothing will keep him apart. Nothing will keep him from doing what he wants to do. I saw this piece from John Piper that just touched my heart, and I just kept on repeating it over and over and over. John Piper said, the next slide is, immerse yourself in the written word of God. Saturate your mind with it. Immerse yourself in the written word of God. Saturate your mind with it and pray that the Spirit of Christ would make you so new that the spillover would be good, acceptable, and perfect. The will of God. May we all have a yearning to immerse ourselves in the written Word of God and saturate our minds. Imagine everything I think of, saturate it. I just see this picture of a sponge just in the bath. If you pick it up, it's just like, it's overfilled. And then it starts spilling over. So what is the spillover? The perfect will of God. May we all immerse ourselves in the written word of God. May we spend more time in the word. May we spend more time saturated. That we think if we walk, the scriptures just come onto us. Get an app where you have audio Bible and you can just listen to it while you walk. Instead of listening to music and you repeat words that's not honoring God. Put on gospel music. Put on the word that just plays over and over in your mind and just renews your mind day by day by day. I love working with figures. I love working with Excel documents. I love putting in formulas and links, and I just love Excel. If I go on holiday, after 2-3 weeks, I'll normally tell my friends, yes, I miss a lack of Excel spreadsheet. I miss it. I want to get to... So if anybody wants advice, please come to me. I love it. But while I'm... The moment I sit, and now I need to do a lot of documents, and I build these documents, and I send it out to all the CEOs of Media 24. And if I've got it wrong, that will calculate wrong, and there might be a problem. And people will make big decisions on that. But every time, if I start working with it, all I do, I just put on K-Love Radio. Or I just put on worship music. And everything else goes away. And I can just zoom in, and I can just focus, and step by step by step, I can just do it, and there's just nothing stopping me. And my wife will come, and I'm talking about, I've got a five-year-old, a very busy five-year-old. I'm sure there's footsteps on his platform in his room. He's a busy five-year-old. I've got 3 kids, I've got a wife, we've got 3 dogs. It's a busy house. I can sit in my room and do Excel and just focus. And will not make a mistake because God is in control. Because I just zoom out. I'm just worshiping God and just working. And my wife will come and like, Donnie, hello. I don't hear them. So if you're going through a difficult time, listen to the word. If you're going through great times, listen to the word. If you're walking somewhere, listen to the word. If you're worried about the future, listen to the word. My final scripture, before I said it, I just wanted to make sure it's my final scripture. As the worship team comes up, the final scripture is Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. The world wants us to look at how we dress, what we drive, where we work, what we have, what we own. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we renew our minds? Immerse ourselves in the Word. So that you may prove that the will of God is, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. So tonight I want to welcome you and invite you. If you want to know the perfect will of God, if you want to walk closer with Him, if you just want to stop worrying about the future, about what you're going to do, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where am I going to go, what's going to happen with my life, I just want to invite you to just surrender it to God and start spending time in the Word and say, Lord, You are in control. I cannot do this on my own. I am not in control.